Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into this episode of Jack the Ramsey's. I'm your co-host, Danny Morang, joined as always by now the undisputed champion of football picks and college football, where Oregon State plays USC at USC. Yeah, I'm gonna hold it down. Very, very specific.
I thought you summed it up very well last night by saying the wrong team was favored. I couldn't have agreed with you more all week on that one. I didn't quite get that line. 11 points. It's one thing if you would have told me Brandon, OSU is going to lose at USC, I'd be like, okay, I was just there the last time they lost. It's another to tell me the 11-point number. I don't know what out of USC makes you feel confident betting that kind of number ever.
I thought that maybe that they'd freed the demon, so to speak.
At Wazoo?
Yeah, that was like, okay, yeah, we've got five day one NFL guys.
I think you're right. Your overall point is right. The problem was, and this is why I loved OSU aside from fandom, your better quarterback got hurt in that game, and you had to go back to a guy that is clearly not the guy, and I had no clue what he was going to do off his injury. So I like that position for Oregon State. But
it hurt. But bets will be paid, so I will get the Venmo, and or you can I can call the Abbeys for you.
On a Venmo works best.
Okay.
Venmo works
best. We'll Venmo you, and you know what we should do is I should reach out to Miss Abby and be like, hey, can we put this on the tab?
We have a conversation going. I'll just say this: we have a conversation started with our girl Abby, and I hope that there is some light to be shed this week. That's all I'll say about that.
It's who doesn't love to shed a little bit of light on a lot of really good pizza? That was what I drowned my sorrows in last night, was a pepperoni and jalapeno Abby's pizza last night. So
how good is pepperoni jalapeno? And if you like pineapple, you add it to that bad boy. Oh, that's a great pizza.
I can tell you right now, Amara Baptist would definitely hop in on that. She's pro pineapple as well.
I'm super pro pineapple. There's no other position in my opinion, but you know what? Teach their own.
I think you're going to get crushed for that one. Maybe not Lord of the Rings level crushed, but you're going to get crushed.
See, let me just say, we'll move on because I don't want people to complain that we didn't talk Blazers. We always do that. We do the, you like pineapple, you're in the vast minority. I'm sorry there, Bob. The top three selling pizza at every chain includes pineapple. There's no way I'm in the minority.
We're gonna have to talk to Miss Abby about that and do some market research.
Okay.
Find out where, like, how much pineapple. What is the pineapple to pepperoni ratio that they purchase how far it's skewed?
You should do the pineapple to anchovies if you think it's so absurd. That ratio,
depending on what market you're in. That can go a little more sideways than you think.
Let's go to Baton Rouge, and I bet you pineapple still wins.
All right, well, we got Media Day coming up. We got a couple questions. It's a quasi-mailbag pod / Media Day preparation. Maybe between now and tomorrow at 11 a.m., I will, I don't know, put together a bingo card?
I like that. I think there's going to be some pretty easy bingo hits.
Yeah, I'll maybe randomize a few to put out on Twitter. We'll see what happens.
But I'm more just, you know, I really cannot wait for some of these questions to be asked and to hear either the spin out or, for lack of a better term, the balls it's going to take for him to really sell us on some of the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, Ben McLemore, he shot 42%. What did this team need? Shooting.
Yeah.
I addressed it.
I love the straight lines that get drawn at these. It goes through any context whatsoever, and it's just the singular line, like, I'm going to take this one particular thing from this one question that you've asked here, and that's what I'm going to address, and I'm going to just completely ignore the rest of it. So, I'm going to do a bingo card now. speaking of bingo cards, I think this you would hear this in any discussion around the Portland Trail Blazers. This is from B. Wild at Brendan Dubb. What does it take for a player to not qualify as a Blazers legend? I feel like most players earn the designation with a few exceptions. Raymond Felton is the one name that he put in here. If you're talking about a player not being a Blazers legend, threatening to fight the fan base is probably pretty high up there. Criminal misconduct that doesn't include socially acceptable things such as marijuana, you're probably in that same vein. This is the divorcing Damon Stoudemire from weed wrapped in foil and, you know, Ruben Patterson and domestic violence.
I was going to say Ruben Patterson's definitely in the Ray Felton camp.
Yeah.
He just didn't threaten fans. He threatened teammates. He threatened, and we know how he treated nannies. Like, there's a whole thing.
Yeah.
With Ruben there, the Damon one is, I never really, as an adult, it's even more ridiculous how much
it's funny how bad it looked.
But this is to me why it looked bad. It wasn't weed. It was that you just graduated a biology degree and you thought you'd go through a metal detector with it wrapped
in foil.
In foil. I mean, you couldn't have told me you didn't take your classes any stronger than doing that. There's no other
shout out the fine institution of learning that is the University of Arizona. Have you ever seen Spinal Tap?
No.
There's a scene where he walks through a metal detector. I believe it's in an airport, and he's got a cucumber down his pants, but it's wrapped in foil.
Oh.
And that's what keeps like popping into my head every time I hear that story, because I remember watching that as a kid. And yes, I watched Spinal Tap as a kid because my parents were awesome. But yeah, like, the joking mechanism for not qualifying as a Blazer legend pretty much is don't be an uber douche and don't, you know, get wrapped up in violent crime. I think that's pretty much the bar. Tough one to not clear.
We're a pretty welcoming market in general, and like, even guys that don't
I think
work
that's
out,
underselling it entirely, but yes.
Well, I know, but like, you know, Thomas Robinson classifies to me for many people as, hey, he gave us those 4 or 5 moments, and I'll never forget how great those moments
were. The chase down dunk and leak out is still one of the stupidest moments I've ever seen, but it was like pure bliss.
It was an absolute perfect play. Let me ask you, though, of guys who really do classify as this, right? Jokingly, mm-hmm. we use a lot of players. These two names, I think, get put into the light, but I'm really curious if we're to really take that term seriously, Blazers legend.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you quantify that in a lot of different ways. On the court, leadership, teammate, community. I don't know. Maybe it's an all-encompassing thing. Would you say Andre Miller and Joel Prisbilla fall into these categories?
It's hilarious. In the back of my head, when you started saying that, I'm going to go, I was like, oh, my counter to this is going to be Andre Miller. Because Andre's my guy. 100% through and through. Like,
yeah.
He is a brand of basketball unto himself, and like the general idea of him, he just has like his own ethos, his own style of cool, right? Like dropping a 50 piece without knocking down threes is insane, and just you kind of wish that there'd been a way to figure it out between him and Brandon at that point in time. But Prisbilla is another one telling Carlos Boozer, "Meet me after." Like Prisbilla was, I mean, the vanilla gorilla. Like it's just. They had their own levels of cool, and they came into the culture but made it their own too. So I think without like being, well, Andre's right on the edge of being a Hall of Famer, let's be honest. Joel, not as much, obviously. But I think if you're talking about not the best players this franchise has ever had, like the next level, yes. Yeah, those are guys who they just embodied what it meant to be here and be beloved, right?
That's kind of how I viewed it too. And Andre, I mean, shout out to Andre. He gives every guy with a sub 10 inch vert motivation and hope in life. To have a 13, 14 year career and not be able to jump more than 7 inches off the ground is that's inspiring. That's a Disney movie, quite frankly.
Yeah. What would you call it?
The Boy Who Couldn't Jump. And you
the fact
go,
that you had that ready was like you've. I feel like you've sent this off to Mike Rich a few times. And for those who don't know, Mike Rich has written a ton of Disney movies that are based on real life sports. I think Miracle. Wow. What was the pitcher one?
I was going to say Rays. We had the guy like Dennis Quaid played the old pitcher who used to be the teacher. Like if that's a movie, Andre Miller is a movie.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like you just show this guy. What's funny is he has a little bit of a Mike Tyson voice. He's got a higher pitched voice, which you don't expect, but he's the wildly toughest SOB you've ever seen out of LA. And again, you're talking about the Thomas Robinson, Will Barton chase down dunk. Andre Miller running over Blake Griffin. It's still one of the most singular moments in my lifetime where I was in shock and awe, and so were the referees, so much so that they were just like, nah, didn't see it. Didn't see that 6'1", 210-pound dude run over 6'9", Blake Griffin like he wasn't there.
Well, look, the pride of Rick Majerus, I think, deserves a movie at some point in his life. RIP to Big Rick out there.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And honestly, let me ask you this. I got another random question. So if you took Andre Miller and you took Brandon Roy and they both started talking, which one classifies more as voice doesn't match what you see?
Oh, Andre.
See, I think it's Brandon.
Really?
I think it's, dude, Brandon Roy was, he is 6'6". When he played, he was probably 210, 215?
220, 225. 220,
okay, yeah.
Brandon was a big dude.
He was thick. He wasn't skinny, right?
No.
So let's call it 220. So 6'6", 220.
Yeah, I think every time I talked to Brandon, we were sitting down, so I never got like that overbearing.
Yeah, see, the post game, he'd have like a game winner. You'd be going nuts, and then you'd stop to hear him talking like, you know, I'm just out there. I'm playing my heart out. And I'm like, this is not matching.
It didn't track.
It didn't track, but I was like, I still loved him. I got to like him for that.
No,
but
Andre Miller was always like, oh, you know, man, just had a good game.
I know. He was always so quiet.
He sounded like a mellowed out version of Terrence Howard in Hustle and Flow.
Oh, I like that comp. That's a good comp.
I think that was part of what made him so cool. His voice like came through his character. So
we should do that as a poll question sometime with the show. Whose voice didn't match how they looked? Andre Miller or Brandon Roy?
Oh, the results on that's probably going to be
interesting, right?
Yeah, because when you first think about it, I think Andre jumps out. But if you've heard Brandon talk, yeah, I mean, it does make sense.
Yeah, him and Patrick Mahomes in this category too. The dude's a Cajun when he talks. It's like I wouldn't have guessed. You know, when you're going out there, we're throwing football. And
well, I mean, let's be honest. It's Cajun Kermit. Let's qualify it. This from Desert Duck at Ryan Robb 2121. So people always talk about what Dame can do to improve defense, lobs, interior passing. Why doesn't the conversation revolve around where everyone else can improve? For example, where can Nas improve that would help the team immensely? You want to take this one on first?
I think the reason you talk about what Dame can improve upon, like you specifically highlight this a lot, is the the lack of touch he has on lob passes and just passing in the paint in general is not as great as a lot of other premier guards. I think the reason we highlight that more so than his point, everybody else, is because the team goes as Dame goes. So if Dame is able to harness in some way becoming a really good lob player, or, you know, finding ways to bring guys into the paint and give Nurk or Zeller or whoever easy dunk layup situations, that the team is going to be better for that.
Yep.
I think other guys can find where they need to maybe go role-wise, but overall the league, as we've said many times, it's about how your best players play. And if Dame has areas where he can get better, and he does get better, you seemingly assume the team's getting better as well.
Go full math nerd here. ROI, return on investment. Nas is on the floor 12 minutes a night. Nas getting better at a singular skill, while is impactful, isn't nearly as impactful. Let's use the NFL analogy. Your left guard getting better at pass pro is helpful. Your quarterback, who's the only player on the field outside of the center who touches the ball every single possession, getting rid of the ball faster and more accurately is significantly more impactful than your left guard turning into Steve Hutchinson. It just...
Right.
It is. And it's... That doesn't mean you don't want that left guard to get better. It doesn't mean you don't want Nasir Little to get better. You do. Of course you do. But when you look at how that pie is divided and what's most impactful, that's why you often hear about why Damian Lillard or why CJ McCollum or why Yusuf Nurkic. Those $200 million plus contracts come with, you know, expectations.
Right.
And when you have the ball, when you are doing X, Y, or Z, your ability to be better at those things, it's measured in the same manner. That's just kind of how it works.
I think that's a good way to put it. I mean, I know we're using football terms for basketball podcasts, but take Josh Allen. I mean, the Bills had a good offensive line. Could you have said, hey, how can the Buffalo Bills block even better? Ultimately, Josh Allen had to take that MVP level step for Buffalo to be considered a legit threat. So while it is important that the role guys find their roles and figure out their weaknesses and get better, all of this is going to hinge on your number one becoming that much more invincible to a certain degree. And so that's why I'd say that's why we talk about it more than guys like Nas.
And even in the grander scheme, this is why I hammer the whole, listen, adding Larry Nance Jr. is good. Getting Cody Zeller in to replace Kanter. Those are good things.
Right.
But again, the top is what matters the most in the NBA. It's not this diversification among 22 players. It's five. And in of those five, the burden, the weight is significantly adjusted to one or two guys. That's just the way the NBA works. And so when you're talking about like what you can do, you're trying to find the person who has the most impact. Because unless Nasir Little turns into a superstar to have that impact, then it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to be invested fully in what that overall is going to look like.
Right.
That tracks, right?
Yeah.
All right. Looking ahead to Media Day. We're recording this Sunday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Media Day is Monday morning, 11 a.m., Neil Olshey. And, surprise to, I think, a lot of folks, Chris McGowan is going to be made available. I would assume that probably has to do a lot with the TV deal, discussing what's going to go happen.
Well, I think it's also ticket sales, COVID protocol. You know, I think it's going to be all those kind of business situations they're dealing with. I'm really hoping Chris can maybe enlighten us or give us an update on the TV situation, because I'm pretty close to having to switch to Fubo, but I'm not a big fan of having to do that.
Not pulling the trigger quite yet.
Not yet. I'm holding out hope. And if I, you know, if I don't have the preseason games, you know, could be a problem, but I can still find a way to get access to that. I'm hoping not have to switch.
I think I can get you covered.
I'll figure that out.
Yeah. Wink, wink. Remember, folks, stream your games legally.
Absolutely.
Don't.
Why would you do the other thing?
Don't do anything else. This is a proper show, and we would suggest nothing otherwise. But you mentioned COVID protocols.
Yeah.
There was an article in Rolling Stone that came out, and that I'm sure part of this is going to be addressed tomorrow in some roundabout way. The Blazers, I've been told, and we've heard, is at vaccination rate. They are at 100%. So not something they have to deal with, but league-wide, there are guys higher up the rung than people probably expected. In Andrew Wiggins and Kyrie Irving, Jonathan Isaac. There's certainly some rumblings going on around Devin Booker right now.
He either has COVID or he's also not getting vaxxed. I don't know. I don't know how to read that situation.
We're unsure. But I have reached out behind the scenes, and there's a larger number than people really want out there as far as players in the league who aren't vaxxed.
But would anybody be so – I see I read the article, and I'll fully acknowledge I think the article was an awful look for the league, and it makes it makes a lot of their players look really uneducated and stupid. That being said, I still would have guessed there's a higher percentage than I would assume unvaccinated. I mean, this is you're going through this. Actually, you're going through it. It's just not a big deal breaker because of the sport. The NFL went through this.
Yeah.
You had a guy like Cole Beasley that was like loudly talking about how all the research he did concluded he didn't need to take the vaccine.
Or the entire Minnesota Vikings team, apparently.
Or the entire Minnesota Vikings team. Kirk Cousins' dad is a famous preacher who is super anti-vaccine, stuff like that. So you've had these storylines pop up in football. The reason they're not a big deal is because, quite frankly,
the league is replaceable. Yeah.
Cole Beasley's fine, but, Buffalo would get past Cole Beasley not playing for them in a game. Whereas the NBA, if you got Andrew Wiggins that can't play home games, you've got Kyrie Irving that can't play home games, this is a huge deal. Even Orlando. Orlando could be a fun little team this year, and Isaac, when healthy, is a good defensive player. So I think there's an impact that's greater in the NBA than there is the NFL. But that article, man, it's Kareem was the MVP of that article.
He came out looking pretty good.
Question. And what I continue to be puzzled is the lack of trust we have in people that are clearly smarter than anything I could ever wish to be. And while you don't believe them for this, the minute your heart beats irregularly or the minute you
have trouble, keep it simply, when you blow out a knee.
When you blow out it, like, these are the same people you trust for that, but you think that they're lying or there's some like huge agenda to lie about this. It's just puzzling to me that people actually believe and fall and live into this reality, because it's just the numbers just don't bear out what the stuff is that's being spread around and talked about. I mean, it's alarming how incorrect some of this stuff is, and yet here these guys are, they're worth millions of dollars, and the best they do is their own research, and you conclude that you're right. It's like Jonathan Isaac was at Florida State for what, 2 years?
I don't think he got a virology degree.
So that's the point. And yet his YouTube research has concluded that he knows more than a Fauci of the world. It's interesting to me that we've gotten to that spot.
Yeah. Oh, or, you're part of a master plan to get you on a database for Satan. Moving on.
That's,
Yeah, yeah, listen.
We love conspiracy theories a lot more than I thought.
Yeah. I mean, I think people, they look towards them. But I bring all of this up because we're going to get a heavy dose of this tomorrow. We're going to hear, and Rolling Stone did allude to it, and I don't think the league has entirely made it public yet, that because of the Delta variant, if you're courtside, you're going to be masked. That was in there. I don't think that had been communicated by the league entirely yet. Have you seen anything like that?
I didn't know about that till you had reminded me that was going to happen. And yeah. I honestly was a little surprised we were going to do that. I thought not having right on the court was beneficial to a lot of players. I felt like they had an idea of the spacing a little better. And so if you could push that back, I'd be an advocate for that either way. Cause even if you sit courtside, you're not literally where it used to be. You're 8 feet back.
You're a couple feet back. Yeah.
Your seats are still amazing. Like, you still are hearing all the talk. You're right there in the action. They're going to dive and be right near you when they go out of bounds. Like, I've always kind of wanted them to push the courtside seats back, because I go to these games. You've been to these games.
Yeah.
It's so weird. I've seen like Nick Batum do an inbounds pass, and there's a server with two cocktails and a nacho a foot to his left, and he's over here with 3 minutes to go in a game, a pivotal moment, having to make a pass, and there's a cocktail waiter just like, guess I'm waiting.
Yeah.
It's just like,
can you hurry up? Uh, On a little bit of a tangent there, I really still want them to mic up the damn court, and it's so frustrating. I would pay $5 a month. I probably could pay probably close to $5 a game to.
But lawsuits, man. There's the language that those guys use. While I wouldn't agree with a lot of it, I'd also be able to.
It's competition.
Yeah, I'd be able to disconnect those two realities. So I.
But
I
the business, the businesses of the world will not when they see when they have their guys out there who are have their shiny images, you know, well, taken down.
You know, somebody's going to record the phone. That audio is going to go viral, and. You're not going to have anything. You're not going to be able to get out of that. So
no, it sucks, but it is what it is. But as we take a look at the rest of Media Day, I don't know. How do you frame this as far as what are you looking for and or expecting to come out of Media Day?
Okay, so let me flip this on you and ask you this question because I really want your answer. What is the biggest question you want to hear answered? Of all the questions, what's the biggest one to be asked that you assume will be asked and you really want to hear what that answer is? Because I know what mine is, and it's not even a contest.
The Chauncey stuff won't be – I mean, there's guys that are going to ask, but it's not going to get answered.
The Chauncey Pest stuff?
No, just as far as like the search and everything else that kind of like went on with it because they never really addressed it. For me, if I could get like truth serum – how much Dame is going to be on or off the ball, how happy he's going to be, like what's it going to take to keep him happy, that kind of a situation. Because we keep hearing, well, Nurk, you know, well, I'm going to be on the ball more. Okay, so who's not going to be on the ball? CJ? Here's the conflict that I keep seeing. Well, if CJ returns to his 13-game start to the season, his best of his career, this team's going to be great. Well, in that 13 games, Nurk was not on the ball. Nurk was awful to start the season. He was not involved. So what does that balance look like? I think that's like that and like the idea of who is really getting like we got that article from Quick the other day about Nas is really excited with the new coaching staff because it's a clean slate and he's been promised that he's going to be one of the first guys off the bench. Well, so is Larry Nance. So is Anthony Simons. So is Cody Zeller. They all can't be the first guy off the bench.
You're not running 10 deep. Like, that's just not happening. So
they might just start the season. They might run. They'll probably run 9. They may run 10 just to kind of see what happens.
Well, I'm talking after like 35 games.
Yeah. But I thought that was a little bit weird. So I think that's probably where I would start is like, what is the goal and what is the actual pecking order? It's a long roundabout way of getting to that, I think, is what is the actual pecking order and what is it really going to look like?
It's a good question. I think it's one of those, they give their best answers that sound good versus, I don't know if there's a truth to be shared in that answer. I think that's more of a, no, but hold on, bear with me. I think it's one of those,
go on.
They want to figure that out as they try it. You know what I mean? Like how can you really place a percentage on how you use Nurk with the ball, off the ball, the rotation stuff. Like, I don't know
if you can
do that yet. I don't know. I think Chauncey's going to have.
They're going to have to feel it out, no doubt.
Yeah, there's a real feel out period, I think, for him as a new head coach. And I think he's going to lean on Dame a lot from the on-court perspective, Scott Brooks, with all the experience he has. But I don't know. I think it's a great question. I just don't know if they can truly, even if they were being honest, commit to a percentage of that kind of stuff yet.
Not even necessarily just a percentage, but like what is in their head? What are they looking for? What are they shooting for? What is the goal in that respect? Because I think they have a goal in mind, a goal in touches. Hey, we want to get Nurk X amount of touches a game, and then want to get them here, here, and here. Now, right. They won't do that because it's a little bit too game plan-y. You don't want to show your hands too early. But again, that's me like getting it with true serum. I think is kind of what I've gone with. What's the question that you're looking for?
Oh, the question for me, and it's been this way since he said the words. Now, I could have not been lazy and pulled up the exact quote, so forgive me for paraphrasing.
We love lazy Sprague.
If I'm not mistaken, Dame was basically asked about the offseason moves, and he said what? He didn't view them as
That it wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough. It wasn't groundbreaking for them. So I think the question's pretty cut and dry. You get the exact quote from Dame. because if you don't come, if you don't come to the general manager with specific, like, remember, like he had that thing with Orlando where Orlando didn't properly quote something. Yeah. And anyways, you get the exact quote from Dame and you basically say, hey, Neil, Dame X amount of months ago said, and I quote, yada, 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 yada about the roster.
You've traded for Larry Nance Jr. since then. Have you done enough?
And your best addition in some aspects is Larry Nance Jr. Do you believe you lived up to what Damian Lillard said this team needed this offseason? I think that's that question in some form of it is the question of questions to me, because it's going to piss him off, first of all. And I don't mean to ask that question to piss him off. It's just,
oh, well, come on. If we're talking about percentages again, there's a percentage of you who's like, nah, I'm okay with that causing that reaction. Well,
but see, here's my thing. I'm okay causing the reaction. My point is, it's not about the reaction. It's about if this was any other major media market, he'd get 7 to 10 of those kind of questions. But because he's in happy little Portland where everybody wants to be best friends so they can be sourced or not be
ostracized by the organization,
ostracized, excommunicated, those questions get asked like once or twice, maybe every two press conferences. So
to the GM who comes to two press conferences a year,
that has to be a question. Like in some way, that rotation of questions, that kind of question has to be brought up. And whether he likes it or not, doesn't matter. I still want to hear
that one's going to get a good
take on it.
I can already tell you right now. Well, Jace, at that point in time, clearly Dame was in a place where he was questioning some things. And we've had discussions, obviously, since then. We've made moves to improve the roster in places of weakness. We have increased our ability with versatility in the lineup. Larry Nance Jr. can play a little bit of three, a little bit of four, a little bit of five. He'll really help. He's a great glue guy. Comes with a strong background. Obviously, the son of Larry Nance.
Just an unimportant part of that.
He'll throw some shit in there. You know he will. You know he will.
The former Laker, by the way.
Yeah. Lakers. Here's the thing. When I put the bingo card together, I will put a square in there for Neil Olshay says irrelevant shit.
Like, that's gonna be like half the bingo card.
But you know what I mean? Like, it'll be like, it will have nothing to do with the question, but it's gonna spice it up, and Neil loves to spice it up. He plays it up.
But okay, so you got to think of a way then, because that's totally an answer I buy that he would use.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be though maybe a caveat, a two part. You say, was this a good enough offseason according to the superstar's wishes or thoughts?
You can't. That's the thing, is you can't include Dame in it because he'll say, I can't
he's
speak
a franchise
for Dame.
Player.
Well, no. You say what Dame says, but do you say that you have to address it directly to Neil?
Oh, no. You address it to Neil. This isn't a question for anybody.
No. I'm saying, but the question has to be, do you think that you've addressed Damian Lillard's concerns? Because
he'll
deflect it and say, well, you know, I can't speak for Dame. Da, 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 da.
It has to be directly
to him, because
you have to be like, for the record, you do think this team is the legit title contender in the NBA this year. Like, you have to get that right there, black and white ink.
Oh, I can tell you as you say it there. Listen, Sean, we go into every season not to, you know, go into the lottery. We go in every year thinking title.
See, that's not an answer. I'd be like, "That's you didn't answer. You're not answering my
Tell
question.
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me
you're
wrong.
Not wrong." But it's like, this is a yes or no question. Do you think this team is legitimately, as currently constructed, a title contender in the Western Conference?
Well, there's a lot of things that have to go.
I mean, it's just like he can dance around that. And if he does, I'll just go, okay, great. He's dancing around that question. Yeah. But give me a direct answer. Like, put your feet to the goddamn fire. You're so confident in your roster construction ability. Then back it. Then be like, yes, we are contending for the championship with this team this year. And if you're wrong, then yeah, we'll all go, duh, we saw that coming. But if you end up being right.
They did this before. They did this before after the 18-19 season, and they got punched in the face. Remember they had
Was that the year he said
they had the dinner, and they all talked about title at the team dinner. It was.
Was this the year, though, that he said Al Farouk at the four gets us 9 games better, and they failed to reach that mark? Was that the year you're talking about?
That was the year before, yeah. It just, it is what it is. And I don't want this to turn like the Neil bash fest, but like Neil press conferences are always a disaster. So, and in the disaster in like the best possible way, because they are fun to pick apart because he does play games. It is what it is at this point. What do you expect to come out of all of this? What is the expectation coming out of Media Day? When you and I hop on tomorrow to talk about this, what is the headline that you think is going to come out of that?
I expect there to be a lot of what you said in your hypothetical Neil answer. I think the feeling I'm going to get is Dame talking about the off the court drama and how he'll reiterate again. You never heard me say any of that.
Dame's going to walk that path of you heard other people say stuff.
Yes, he's like, I never did that. I think
which Dame is why those people exist. That's why agents and media sources exist.
I think Chauncey's going to have. I think you're going to hear a lot of. We have committed. We're all in on this together. We're going to be working hard. We understand last year we came up short. I think you're going to hear this real camaraderie vibe. That's like, hey, Chauncey's here now. The energy's turned.
It's the honeymoon.
I think you're going to hear a lot of selling of how excited and great this team potentially could be. I think that's overall the theme you're going to walk away from the press. And no matter how you feel about the answers, that's what I think you're going to walk away from is that's what they're pushing. Hey, we're all in. We're committed. We're doing this. We're going to work together. We're all going to try harder on defense. Like, you're going to hear all of that kind of stuff.
If I'm going to take anything else away from any of this, because it mostly is going to be make you roll your eyes, I do want to hear from Chauncey, because even in his own press conference, he hasn't had a chance to talk a ton. And I thought that when he was given that chance, he acquitted himself pretty well. And clearly he's already got the young guys buying in like that. So there's a communication level there that the guys are appreciating. So I would very much like to get him personally. I'd like to get him without Neil or Chris in the room. I think that would be beneficial. I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow, but we'll eventually work our way there as the season unwinds. But I think that would be beneficial for not just him, but us, the quote unquote media, who take all this stuff in and process it. But I think that's the thing that I'm looking forward to, at least overall. Players wise, I mean, I've talked to a lot of the guys already, so I kind of have an understanding of what we're looking for. I don't think we're going to get too many surprises in that regard. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to get the Mo Harkless, oh yeah, by the way, I had surgery and I'm not going to be ready for the season. Like we did, what was that, 2-3 years ago now? That was a fun one. So let's go ahead and wrap it up there. We'll keep it a little bit shorter than usual. What do you got coming up this week on 1080 The Fan, good sir?
Well, I mean, obviously we're going to have to react to my Oregon State Beavs destroying your Trojans in LA for the first time since Eisenhower was in office.
Look at that. USC, always historical, baby.
Hey, they still have number 32 up there in the Coliseum. I think we'll also get to the rest of the Pac-12. Oregon had a great win against Ohio State, but Ohio State's starting to look kind of like...
Maybe they suck.
Yeah, well, by Ohio State standards, like a 3-loss type team, potentially. So not to say Oregon is overhyped, because I'm not ready to go there in this conference, but that wasn't a really impressive game against Arizona's awful. They're one of the worst, if not the worst teams in the Power 5, and they only won that game by, I think, 8. So we'll talk about Oregon. We'll talk about the Pac-12. We'll get into the NFL. It's going to be a really busy week on The Fan.
How are your futures bets? How are those holding up?
Futures bets are still alive. My J.K. Dobbins ticket is dead. Mm. That died the minute he tore his ACL before Marcus Peters.
Yeah.
But we're so hopeful. It's still early to conclude on futures tickets yet, unless you bet on the Chicago Bears to win their division and they average 1.1 yards per play in an NFL game in 2021, the Lord of our Savior.
Putting money on Justin Fields to play football for the Chicago Bears this year, good. Putting money on Justin Fields and the Bears this year, bad idea.
Do you know they're 1.1 yards per play? That is the worst in a century.
Historical, man, baby. 100 historical.
100 years?
Ooh, boy. All right. Remember, folks, you can find us on YouTube, on Spotify, on iTunes. Like, rate, review, subscribe. Do all of the things. The growth, the support, everything has been fantastic. As Sprague alluded to, perhaps there's something coming with Abby's. Perhaps not. But we appreciate you supporting our sponsors and our wonderful, wonderful people who pay us money to come along and do this. And you know, thank you.
Yes, you like rate, that? Review, subscribe. And we have a good Monday show coming your way.
Yeah, Media Day will be fun. So we'll catch you guys right after Media Day. I'll pop in here and grab Sprague by the ears, and we'll dice it up. I'll probably be live tweeting through it in the Zoom conference, and then we'll kind of go from there. We will have actual basketball very quickly coming around in, I think, technically a week. So,
yep.
Yeah, we'll be after it very, very, very quickly, and we'll have some fun stuff. And I've teased it in the past. We'll have some more TV-ish segments. It won't be quite as wide open and wide ranging as it is right now. We'll tighten it up a little bit for the season just because of time constraints. And I have a couple of things that I've got to announce that I don't even think I've told you about yet. So we have some cool stuff coming. And then in the meantime, I've got some content at Blazers Edge and some breakdown videos that I'm going to do before the season, taking a look at a couple of guys and what to expect coming forward. So as always, at Danny Morang on social, at Brandon Sprague. We'll catch you guys next time. Bye.